Welcome to the Vision Church podcast. We pray that you're inspired by the teaching of the Word of God from Pastor Tyson Coughlin. If you've been blessed by the ministry of Vision Church and would like to support our ministry, you can do so by going to visionchurch.com and then selecting the Give tab. We want to thank you for checking in today. And now please prepare your heart for the Word of God.
I thank God for the opportunity to be here, to share with you, to enjoy God together with you, and to have this time to spend together. I think we need to establish a couple things right off the bat. That God Himself is in charge. We have been bought with a price. He has taken ownership of us. And that is an awesome thing. Bow your heads with me. Father, we come before you because you chose to buy us. You chose to buy our good and our bad, our happy and our sad. You chose to purchase us with your own blood. And we can't be grateful enough. I want to thank you, God, for the ministry that oozes forth from this place. God, I want to thank you for what's done from Monday to Friday here. And I want to thank you for what's done on the weekends. I pray that we give room to your Spirit every day in our lives and in our operations and our work and everything we touch. God, now please anoint this message because the weaknesses of your servant should not shine today, but the glory of the Almighty God should shine. So let your glory so shine through this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Open your Bibles with me, if you would, first to 1 Corinthians. That's 1 Corinthians, for those of you that know what that means. So it's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. He asks a question, what? And then he finishes up, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and that you are not your own? You don't even belong to yourself. Amen. God didn't buy you back from Satan to give you to your dictates of your own heart. He bought you back from Satan so you would be his, his property. And for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which belong to God. Amen? And then jump over one chapter with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. You're bought with a price. In verse 23, be not servants of men. Don't get confused with your servanthood. Lay your life down and begin to serve the one who bought you. Amen. Don't get confused about what you're here for, because this world is confusing. I got up this morning and I made choices. I made choices about what I was going to wear this morning. I made choices about what I was going to eat for breakfast. I made choices about whether I was going to take a shower or put my shoes on. I made choices which car to drive. I made choices. So we get confused that even though we're making the choices, we're not the one who owns us. So as you go through life, understand that you're making these choices, but you're not the owner of your life. God is. And so you submit your choices before His beautiful hands and say, God, help me make the right choices. Help me to live your life in such a way that you would be pleased so that I might hear well done one day. Turn with me to another place in the Bible now. And we're going to talk about the hall of faith right quick. Hebrews chapter 11. And I'm going to begin at verse 23. He started first with Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. He started talking about Cain and Abel. Then he went to Moses and how Moses chose not to be called the son of Pharaoh anymore, but he chose to be called the son of God and to suffer the afflictions with the people. Pretty huge, right? He had it made and he chose to be a servant of God. He had it made, but he chose a different path. We have it made, but do we choose to be a servant? The greatest of all will be the servant of all. The disciples asked Jesus one time, they said, Jesus, and I really ask for your prayers for me this morning that I would be comfortable. Because you know something? I'm not right now, and I need to be. Okay? So pray for me that I can be comfortable in His Spirit, to give forth the words that I need to give, to say the things that I need to say that might transform your life the way it needs to be transformed. So let's be honest with one another. This is not about hiding our weaknesses, but it's about saying, God, this is me, strength and weaknesses, and You own me. So we begin to surrender our life to Him in that beautiful way. But in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32, He says, what shall I say more? What shall I more say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith they subdued kingdoms and they wrought righteousness. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched the violence of fire. And we're going to come back to that one in a minute. They escaped the edge of the sword, and out of weakness they were made strong. They waxed valiant in fight. They turned to flight the armies of the aliens. And then it changes right in the middle of this. Now listen to it. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured. Oh, wait a minute. We were on the win, 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 win. And then we went to the win, I don't know. He says, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others have had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yet, moreover, they had bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned and they were sawn in half and they were tempted and they were slain by the sword. They wandered around in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute and afflicted and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. And they wandered in the deserts and the mountains and the dens and the caves of the earth. These all having obtained a good report through faith, but they had not yet received the promise, which was Jesus Christ. But just as in faith we look back toward Jesus, they were looking in faith into the future to what Jesus would do for them. And we look back in faith knowing that He has done it. They were looking at the promise knowing that He would do it. I'm going to tell you, what God hasn't done in you yet, you need to look into the future and say, God is going to do this thing in me. You need to quit thinking that somehow along the way you missed the boat. But God is going to reveal and do things in you in the future that you can only dream about right now. When you release yourself into His hands and know on whom you have believed, He will take your feet and put them on the solid rock. He will establish your going. He will change the direction of your life, and your faith will be increased. Not just what you see did happen, but what you know He will do into the future. He's going to do better for you than you even want for yourself when you learn how to give yourself back to the One who bought you. We can only want so good in this world, but He wants better for us than we want for ourselves. And we've got to have confidence in an almighty God that He's going to do better for us than we can do for ourselves. Our commitment needs not to be to our imagination, but it needs to be into a God who is... who has the power to do all things, who is the God above all gods. Now, Tyson was up here a moment ago, and he was talking about what? He was talking about, this is what separates us from every religion on the earth. Well, let me tell you, let me share this with you. Every religion on the earth is trying to get up to God, except for Christianity. That's what makes it not a religion. Why? Because we celebrate the cross of Christ and His incarnation, because it is Christ coming down to man that we are here for. We're not trying to get up to God. We're not trying to climb a skinny rope or to climb a razor sharp bridge. We know on whom we have believed. Now, God, give me the words to say that I can sound like a professional. In this time, we need to sound like servants. Not so much that we have it all together, but that He has it all together. Not so much that we know what to do, but that He knows what we should do. So we can lean not upon our own understanding or our own skills or our own abilities, but in all our ways we begin to acknowledge Him, knowing that He will direct our path. Now let's talk about some folks here for a minute. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They quenched the violence of fire. Okay? They didn't quench the fire. They quenched the violence of it. There was a difference that happened. They were in the fire, but they weren't burnt by the fire. They were at that place, but they weren't controlled by that place. You may have trouble in your life, and you may be tempted and tried and tested. You may be in that place, but that place doesn't have to control you. You've been bought with a price. You are not your own, and you don't belong to the fire. You don't belong to the temptation. You don't belong to the struggle. You don't belong to the situation. Now, as I turn with me in your Bibles, if you could turn to Daniel chapter 21. Wait a minute. Daniel chapter 3, because it doesn't have 21 chapters. So Daniel chapter 3, verse 21. And I'm trying to use two things here, and I'm trying to be real cool about it and be all technology-oriented this morning. But I want you to understand something, that Nebuchadnezzar and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were standing there as participants or players on a stage to really show God's true love, to show where our true hearts should be. Nebuchadnezzar didn't know what he should believe. He was asking a question, who shall deliver you from my hand? That was a question. Who's going to deliver you? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego says, I know who's going to deliver you from my hand, your hand. Who's going to deliver us, that is. I know who's going to deliver us. Can you say when you look back at your temptation that you know who's going to deliver you? Do you look at your struggles and your problems and do you say, I know on whom I have believed? Or are you still trudging down the road of trying to believe? Are you still walking in the mud of doubt? In this, I want you to turn with me in your Bibles. Now, I have Daniel chapter 3, verse 15. Now, when you get ready, I know you weren't ready the first time I asked you to worship the idol, but now Nebuchadnezzar is speaking and he says, when you get ready and you hear the music which is being played for you, I want you to bow down and worship me. And if you don't, the same hour that you don't worship me, I'm going to throw you in the fiery furnace. And who's the God that's going to deliver you out of my hand? Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered, and they said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not going to be careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us out of the burning fiery furnace. He will deliver us out of your hand, O king. That is the truth. No matter whether we go through the fire, through the furnace, whichever direction we go, we're not in your hands. We're in God's hands. Now, that is a big statement to start being made in your life. But if not, be it known unto you, O king, that we will not serve your God nor worship your golden image that you have set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar so angry that his face changed and he began to snarl at them. And therefore he spake a commandment and he said, heat that furnace up 7 times more than the manufacturer's specs. Your Bible doesn't, well, that's what he said. But anyway, he said, heat that furnace on up 7 times hotter than it's supposed to be. And then he commanded the most mighty men of the army to bind up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because he knew that these guys had a little problem with authority. So if he told them just to jump into the fire, they probably weren't going to do it. But anyway, so he said, hey, why don't you we're going to bind you these guys up. And he says, and then these men bound up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In verse 21, this is where you need to focus. Bound them up in their coats and their hats and their trousers and their garments. And they cast them into the midst of the fire. It dawned on me after reading this about 1 million times what they were bound up with. Their own stuff. Every other time in the Bible, it talks about they were bound with chains, they were bound with ropes, Jesus was nailed to a cross. The binding is always explicit. And in this case, in the original language, they were bound with their coats, they were bound with their clothes, they were bound with their hats, they were bound with their own garments, they were bound with their own stuff. They brought their own bondage to the party. And I want you to understand something. Satan is busy trying to use your own stuff. He's trying to take you, whatever your weaknesses are, wherever you're at, he takes your own stuff and he begins to bind you up with it. You get a good taste of stuff love, and before you know it, that stuff has bound you. It's not, you don't own it. It owns you. It controls you. So what they did was they mummified these boys in their own clothes and then threw them into the fire. A few minutes later, Nebuchadnezzar stands up. Hey, wait a minute. We got an intruder alert. We got somebody else in the fire. We got something else going on. He said, didn't we throw three in? He said, yeah, we threw three in, but I see four. Now, this is good for Nebuchadnezzar to say, I see four. For people need to know that you're not alone in this world. The people need to know that there's a God that you're serving that'll walk with you in whatever trouble you're in, whatever problem you face, whatever situation there is. He, God alone, will walk with you. For he said, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Now I'm going to get this out because I've been struggling with it for the past 3 years. I, Jim Ferguson, do not like to preach. Oh, my God, that felt good. Okay, let me tell you something. I don't like to preach. I don't like what it does to me 2 weeks before I preach. I don't like what it does to me 2 months after you've long forgotten what I said. So to me, though, I'm just worried about it. I'm fretting. I'm wondering, God, am I going to say everything right? Am I going to do what I need to do? Am I going to be too harsh? Am I going to be not harsh enough? Am I going to be too straight? Am I not going to be straight enough? Am I going to be weird about it? Am I not going to be weird enough? Am I going to stumble over my words like I always do? When am I ever going to get this together? Well, I figured it out. I'm not ever going to get it together. The only thing I can do is be obedient in the middle of my not being able to get it together. And I think it would be delivering to every one of us to understand that we don't have to have it all together to love one another. We're not competing with this planet to be perfect. We want to be perfect in His eyes. Let me tell you something. Now, years ago, they didn't have the options that we have today. Today, if we want some clothes, what do? We order them from China. That's what we do. Yes, we just order them from someplace else where they make them. They ship them to us. We put them on. We like them or don't like them, or we send them back. But we don't have that casual approach here with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They had to make their own clothes. They had to do their own stuff. And so one thread at a time, one seam at a time, they had to sew together the stuff that fit them. Could you imagine Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thinking, man, I wish I wouldn't have made this quite so strong. You know what I'm saying? I wish I'd have left a little rip in it like Hulk Hogan does when he pulls those t-shirts. You know, cut it a little bit and it'll go faster. So anyway, he said, I wish I wouldn't have put it together so good. Now, one thread is not hard to break. And I did bring my sewing kit with me here today. You thought that was a tackle box, didn't you? It's a sewing kit. All good men have a sewing kit. Okay, it's not really mine. But anyway, you do have a choice what you put in your life. You have a choice on a consistent basis what you're going to sew with, what you're going to thread your needle with, what you're going to put into your life, and what you're going to make your garments to be. I see that inside of this kit is everything that's available to me. Everything. Everything's available to you on this earth. Oh my gosh. Look here. I got a little bit of fornication right there. I could sow that in my life if I want to. I could thread my needle with that. Let me tell you, you don't just walk down the street and bump into somebody and go, whoop, fornicated. No, I'm going to tell you something. You made some plans. You threaded the needle. Oh, God, come. Anyway, that didn't work out. You made some plans. You did some stuff you shouldn't have done. Something should have stopped you before you got that far down the road. Let me tell you, you might sew one thread. One thread's pretty easy to break. But you sew one thread. Say you sew in your life the green thread of jealousy. You just, it's just a feeling. I'm not going to tell anybody. And so you sew in their jealousy. And then the next thing you know, you're sowing a little gossip right beside it. And then I labeled these for my help, okay? Then you got a little judging going on right here. So it's a natural progression. You go from jealousy to gossip to judging, you know, and before you know it, you have sewed one thread after another, and it's not so easy to break. You've got envy, strife, anger. You finally knit together a garment of heaviness that lays on you. Man, you're not wrapping your neighbor in it. You're wrapping yourself in it. We need to be free from our own ill will that would allow us to allow a little bit into our lives. Oh, it's just a little thread. Until you put the other ones with it, and before long, it becomes so taut that it won't break. I want you to think, if I rolled out a bolt of, bolt of fabric right across in front of you. I want you to think about one thread after another from the day you were born to the day you die. We are sowing every day. Today is the day that the Lord has made. His mercy is new every day. And we can go through that and we can make and we can sow our lives. Today is the day of salvation. And we begin at birth, and when we hit the regeneration process, man, the karma just completely changes. Because we're sowing with anything before then. And then we hit regeneration and we begin to choose for ourselves the good things of God. How many of you want to sow with the thread of forgiveness into your life? Isn't that great? You know what? Raise your hand. If you want to sow the garment of forgiveness into your life, oh yes, that's awesome. Somebody's going to offend you. To give you a chance to thread your needle. You know what I'm saying? You're going to get offended. Now here's the thread of long suffering. You're going to think I'm a genius now. You ready? You can't suffer long till you suffer short. And you can't suffer short till you suffer. How many of you want long-suffering in your life? A little different there. Okay, so what we're doing here is, man, we read those fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. Love God gives to you. Joy God gives to you. My peace I leave with you. That my joy might be in you and that your joy might be full. Now, that's the one that He gives to you. And then there's the developmental fruit that you only get after your roots are planted and there starts to be some sap coming from the living vine up into you. And when that starts happening, you start growing in your faith. You become long-suffering, patient, kind, loving, gentle. Love is easy. Love is kind because God gives it to us. What Satan wants to do is let you sow a few of these in there. And this is a thread of fear. Be afraid of letting go and giving God your all. Be afraid of letting Him have the full charge of your life. Because it may spiral out of control. It may get completely out of your hands before you know it. Let me tell you, it would be good for us to start living a little out of control so He can live in control. It would be good for us to lay down our own ambitions, our wills, our plans, our thoughts, so that He can take charge of them all. What's really cool is there's a we component to this. Now, that's not a small one. That's a we. That's a us. That's a us component, okay? So you're thinking about the we component. No, it's not a we. It's a we component. Can you imagine Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego sitting there? And Shadrach says, "Hey, Abed." I know he didn't use Abednego his whole life. He said, "Hey, Abed." He said, "Yeah, Shad, what's going on? What you doing?" "Well, I'm getting tied up right now." "What you doing?" I'm getting ready to go see Elohim. Wait a minute. I'm getting bound. Well, you're going to go see God. I'm getting ready to go see God. You know, when you're going through trials and problems in your life, you need to see the God that's on the other side of it and not so much the trouble. Sometimes all we look at is the fear and the problem. Can you imagine one of them saying to the other one, I'm getting ready to go see God. And so their words begin to encourage one another as they were sitting there getting ready to be thrown into the fire. I'm going to go see God with you. Little did they know that they were still going to be here when they saw God. They thought they were going to go right through the fire, right up to heaven. They didn't really know which way it was going to work out. Some people will say to you, well, I know I sinned, but I really didn't have a choice. No, you had a choice. It may have looked like a furnace. You just chose the wrong path. Now, what I'm trying to talk to you about right now is what you're making your garment out of and what that garment's going to look like when you wear it. The Bible talks about in the last days that he's going to come back for a church that has made herself ready. And that church is going to wear the garment of praise. Let me tell you, you can either sew for yourself a garment of heaviness, or you can sew for yourself a garment of praise. And it is up to you. You have your own thread. You have your own toolbox, and God has seen to it. He bought you, and he gave it to you. I want you to understand, no matter how weak you think you are or how strong you think you are, God has given you the ability to do with your life, to create a beautiful tapestry that he gets all the glory on that day. I think it's awesome what God wants to do in us so that he might be able to turn around to us and brag on us. This ain't like a trophy for participation. This is where God says, well done, and all of creation hears it. Oh my God. The opportunity to serve God with such open arms. I want to introduce you to somebody. This guy was a guy named Ray. He's not here today because he's already running around glory. But this guy named Ray, I met him when I went to a youth camp. When I went to that youth camp for the first time, I was young. I was 15. I walked into that youth camp. Ray was about 30. He worked at the youth camp. I was a young man that was free on the outside but bound up on the inside. Ray was a guy that was bound on the outside but free on the inside. A few years later, I was working with Ray in the same youth camp. And as I was working with Ray in this youth camp, Ray was so wonderful of spirit. He would come up to me and he would say, hey, Jim, how you doing? I'd say, I'm doing good, Ray. How are you? I'm fine. So how's your mom, Ray? She's doing good. And next year, we came back to camp. I said, Ray, how have you been? I'm doing good. My mama's been sick. Then I realized what made Ray come to youth camp every year. Because it wasn't about Ray. Every night at supper, he would be the first one in line. He would eat his meal, and then he would go to our cabin. Now, I had the privilege of bunking with him in the same cabin. He could snore. Oh, boy, that was something. He could snore and keep me awake all night. But he would go to the cabin, and he would get on his knees, and he would start praying for the service that was going to happen that night. And as I would approach the door of the cabin, getting ready to go in, I could hear Ray praying. And it would sound something like this. Oh, Father, I want you to bless and free every young person that is here at youth camp. I want you to minister to them. I want your Holy Spirit to live in them. I want to see them when I get to heaven. He would pray, and it would be so earth-shattering for me to hear his broken voice
praying to holy ears about kids to be blessed, and he wasn't asking for anything for himself. He would come into the service after the service had started, and if we were singing, "It is well with my soul," he would start getting excited. Now Ray's hands were twisted, and he would start raising his hands, and he would say, "It is well," and you could see it all over him. "With my soul, it is well, with my soul." You could see it all in him. And I would sit there and I would watch and I would get convicted because I got two good hands and a good voice. And sometimes I wasn't raising my hands. And sometimes I wasn't praising like I ought to praise. And this, the last time I saw Ray, he said to the chaplain, he said, "Mr. Williams, can I say something? Mr. Williams, can I say something?" He said, Mr. Williams handed him the microphone and said, "You can say anything you want to say." He said, "I want all you young people to know something, that I want to see you when I get to heaven. Because when I get to heaven, I want to take you by the hand and I want to run around the throne with you because I've never run down here. I've never been able to hold anybody's hand, but people hold mine. I want to see you in heaven. I'm free only on the inside. And I want you to be free on the inside like I'm free on the inside. But up there, we're going to be free on every side." At that moment, I watched the altar fill up. And young people begin to pray as I'd never seen them pray before. We need to be free on the inside. Our God will break every chain. He'll break every thread. You don't have to figure it out. God will take it all on himself. You've been bought with a price. This altar is open. I want you to stand with me. And the prayer corner is open. It's time for us to match our inside and our outside. It's time for us to plead for freedom. And I'm hoping and I'm longing for the time when I take Ray by the hand and I run around heaven. The next year when I came back to youth camp, somebody told me, said, "Ray died." And I felt a big tear roll out of my eye. And I began to praise God. I mean, the Spirit of God came on me at that moment. And I realized that he is not in pain anymore. He's not in the fire anymore. He is in the presence of an almighty God. And he's running around heaven. And he's free on the inside. And he's free on the outside. And he's where he wanted to be. I pray that our desire becomes to be more like him and less like us. Let us choose this day what thread we're going to sew with, and let's be busy about it. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you find your place. You find your place of prayer. You thread your needle right now. And let's pray and sing together. Amen.